How many of you consider yourself to be a pretty emotional person? Okay. Nothing wrong with being emotional, because God created us with emotions. Jesus said the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So He wants us to love Him with our emotions, not just our mind, our rational thought, our reasoning power. He wants our emotions too. But emotions, they can be a little messy, can't they? They can be unpredictable, and they can even get a little volatile sometimes. You know, I love emotions. I love emotions when I'm singing. That's why I picked the song out today. I like to get lost in the music. I like to pour myself into a song. If it's deep and if it's heartfelt, I love to do it. If it's fun, I just love the emotion of music. But I also like to kind of be in the middle when it comes to other emotions. I like to kind of be controlled, you know. I don't want to lose control. And that's just how I am. I don't really like to cry in public. Don't mind doing it in private, but I don't want to cry in public. I like to control my emotions. But it's not that easy, though, is it? Sometimes emotions get the best of us. I remember my grandma was planning her funeral, and she sat down with me and she said, I want you to do my funeral. And I thought, wow, this is great. My grandma must know that I'm a good preacher. She must know that I'm going to provide good leadership for her funeral. And then she said, well, your brother Andrew, I'm not going to ask him because he couldn't make it through without crying. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different emotional makeup. That's the way God created us. And it makes life interesting. And we may not cry, but that emotion is going to come out somewhere. And somehow. Sometimes it comes out like anger. People that don't cry get angry a lot, because it's more acceptable. Sometimes we make big decisions based on our emotions. We handle difficulties based on emotions. We find ourselves on an emotional roller coaster. We're tossed back and forth. We're going up the next hill and down the next one, and it's hard to control them. So how do we love God with not only our minds, but our emotions? Well, Jesus was emotional. The Jesus of the movies usually portrays him in emotional extremes. Either he's solemn and serious and walks around never smiling, or he's too emotional. He's on the verge of tears. He's always smiling. But Jesus had the perfect emotional makeup. He spoke seriously at times. He smiled, obviously. He showed joy. He sometimes had a spark of anger. He cried out in pain to God. He was strong and determined, and yet he wasn't afraid to shed tears. He felt vulnerable. Sometimes he needed support from his disciples, and he needed his heavenly Father. But do you realize when Jesus chose the 12, the leader of the group was too emotional? He struggled with his emotions, and he was always on an emotional roller coaster. And he happens to be one of my favorite disciples. His name is Peter. And when I look at his life, I can see that he really experienced Jesus. I mean, there's so much recorded about his interactions with Jesus. We're not going to be able to get to all of it today. But there's one thing we learn. The Bible does not hide his flaws. And that's the way the Bible is. The Bible doesn't put people on pedestals. It always shows some negative. Can you imagine if God were to write a book about your life and he included all the positive things that you'd ever done, but he also included your major mistakes, your major flaws? Boy, that'd really be something to read, wouldn't it? That's what God does in the Scripture. I've heard it said this way: the Bible puts your average reality TV show to shame because it's full of affairs and murders and betrayals, and they're all true. So today, I'm still drawing some insights from Dutch Sheets and his book, The Pleasure of His Company. Simon Peter, though, he was a down-to-earth fisherman. He was grinding out a living in the small town of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. He was probably tough. He was probably calloused. He was probably hard-working. And sometimes he wore his emotions on his sleeve, and sometimes he was outspoken. But the key was how Jesus handled Peter in all his emotions. And we can find strength as we deal with our own emotions. So today, I want to look at four responses of Jesus to emotions. The first response, Jesus encourages godly emotions. Now, as we'll see, Peter could really be a handful, but he could also shine. One day, Jesus was asking his disciples a question. He said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And he got different responses from his disciples. Some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he asked, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up very clearly and truly. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, and I want you to listen to the encouragement that Jesus gives to Peter after he says these words. This is from Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, we don't know Peter's response to everything that Jesus said here, but you know his head had to grow a couple sizes. He was very happy. He was very delighted. I mean, what? He's probably thinking, what does Jesus mean? You know, he's going to build the church on me and nothing's going to overcome it. And then he's going to give me the keys to the kingdom. Wow. Jesus is encouraging Peter. He was able to see past all his flaws and see his loyalty. He could see that he was a little rough, but he knew he had potential. He's basically telling Peter, "I have big plans for you." But as we'll see, Peter had a long way to go. But you know, Jesus loves unashamed emotional loyalty. He loves when people are bold for him. Jesus loves when we are unashamed of our faith. He loves when we boldly share our faith with people we work with and people in public meetings. He loved how Peter spoke the truth. Even though nobody else would speak up, you could always count on Peter to say something. So Jesus gives this response to Peter, and I think it made Peter more bold than ever. The second response, Jesus corrects impulsive emotional responses. In the same chapter, Matthew 16, after these glowing words of praise, a promise that Jesus would build his church on Peter, then there's a change. And Jesus begins preparing his disciples for the cross. Verse 21 of that same chapter, Jesus began to explain what would happen, how he would go to Jerusalem, how he would suffer many things from the religious teachers, how he would be killed, and how he would be raised on the third day. And the disciples didn't know what to make of what Jesus was saying. They were probably thinking, is he being symbolic? It really didn't make sense. But Peter just couldn't stand to hear Jesus talking this way. He's thinking, Jesus must have got something wrong here. So Peter reacts emotionally to Jesus. But I want you to notice, he sounds very spiritual. Look at verses 22 and 23. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter says, "Never, Lord. Never will this happen to you." Did you notice Peter gets impulsive? And did you notice who's behind it? Satan. Satan is behind the impulsive decisions we make. Jesus looks past Peter. He sees the source of the problem, and he acts quickly and decisively. He knows that Satan is trying to move Peter away from his purpose. He knows that Satan's trying to move him away. So he turns to Peter, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter must have been speechless. When's the last time somebody called you Satan? "Get behind me, Satan." Peter didn't realize who was behind his thoughts and his emotions. The devil uses our emotions to turn us away from the purpose of God. Jesus tells Satan, "Get out of my way. Get out of Peter." Some of the most reasonable people that you'll ever meet get sucked into impulsive decisions. They appear very spiritual, and they appear very reasonable. You all know of a preacher that preached and decided he'd met this woman on the internet, and he decided to leave his wife and kids for this woman. And then, this is the amazing thing to me, he decided to sit down with the church leaders and explain in a reasonable way his decision. Well, I'm not going to give you the details on that, but that didn't go too well. But in his mind, he was trying to be reasonable. Church leaders do impulsive things too. Mature Christians make impulsive decisions. So please don't think, "Oh no, that'll never happen to me. I'm too level-headed." Have you ever been impulsive? I have. I've said things and I've done things, and I thought I was making godly decisions, but I thought maybe I was giving godly correction, but really I was just giving an emotional reaction to something I'd never really prayed about. Now the Holy Spirit has given me a wake-up call over the years. Godly people have given me a wake-up call in the form of Scripture. And I came to my senses and I thought, "Why did I say that?" Have you ever done that? "Why did I do that?" And I can see the evil one was at work in my emotions. Have you been there before? Well, Jesus corrects the impulsive behaviors of his children. God wants us to love him with all of our emotions. The third response, Jesus cautions against overconfidence. Do you know what I love about Peter? I love his confidence. He was all heart. He's the guy that's always ready to volunteer. He's always ready to try. And he always believed he could do it. Remember, Peter was the disciple when Jesus was walking on water. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on water. And he came toward Jesus, and we know that Peter ended up taking his eyes off of Jesus, and he started sinking, and Jesus rescued him. But think about this. He was the only one that had enough guts to get out of the boat. That's what I like about Peter. Peter is the guy at an amusement park. When you see this huge roller coaster that's really scary and intimidating, Peter's like, "Let's go. I'm ready to do it. I'm the guy that says, 'Go ahead. I'm going to wait right here when you get done.'" Peter was overconfident at times. You know, he paid dearly for it. In the upper room, Jesus told his disciples, one of them would betray him. A dispute arose about who was the greatest. And of course, Peter obviously thought very confidently of his level of commitment. And he boasted, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Peter really believed it. He was so sure of himself. And then Jesus said those famous words to him, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times that you know me." But notice, Jesus doesn't act offended by Peter. He's patient with him. He's compassionate. He knows what's ahead for Peter. He knows the devil wanted to take Peter out. Listen to how Jesus responds to Peter in his emotions. This is Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knows that Peter is going to fail greatly. And he tells Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. He's telling Peter, you're going to make it through this ordeal. Now, Simon has no idea what he's talking about. You know, the Lord already knows. He already knows how we will fail him. So you're not going to surprise God with some decision that you make. If he demanded perfection, none of us would ever be able to follow him. So he's telling Peter, who's overconfident, you're going to fail me. But I'm not going to stop loving you. And I'm not going to stop believing in you. Remember, even though Jesus knows in advance that you're going to fail him, he's not going to give up on you. But he does caution us against overconfidence. Have you been overconfident before? I have. Boy, I've seen people fall and I've seen people fail and I thought, I will never do that. Or I saw a Christian sinning and I thought, no Christian would ever sin like that. Like I felt somehow like I was above such a temptation. You know, it's easy to think that way until you're actually in that situation. Very famous quote here, I have it on the screen here, says you never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it. It's easy to think that you would never fail or you would struggle until you walk in somebody else's shoes. So be cautious. Listen to God's Spirit because he's going to caution you about boasting and about being judgmental about things that you would never do. The Bible says it this way, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. God wants us to love him, and he wants us to love him with all of our emotions, but at times we fail and we falter. The fourth response, Jesus reassures us after we fall. Jesus told Peter he would fall. Peter did that very night because Peter was living on an emotional roller coaster. He's overconfident in the upper room. He's so sure of himself. So in the garden, when the troops come being led by Judas, he's ready to fight for the Lord. And he draws his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Jesus tells him, put your sword away. That's not how we're going to do it. Now Peter's completely confused. Basically, he's telling Peter, listen, I'm not going to resist arrest. Things were spiraling out of control and all the disciples began to flee in fear. And yet Peter, he follows the group behind. He wants to be there for Jesus. He wants to see what's going to happen. And he goes to the courtyard hoping to remain anonymous, where he watches the proceedings and things really got scary. And Peter, who was once overconfident, becomes paralyzed with fear because he's watching Jesus. He's getting beaten up. He's getting spat upon. And a mob-like atmosphere is starting to develop. And three times people notice Peter. And they accuse him of being one of the disciples. Now fear is starting to settle in for Peter. Peter's starting to fear for his own life. And two times when he's asked if he knows Jesus or if he was with him, he says, I don't know the man. The third time he's approached, they say, you've got to be one of him. Your accent gives you away. And Peter lost it. And the Bible says he began to call down curses. Not just one curse, curses. He let them have it and he swore at them. He said, I don't know the man. And then the rooster crowed. And Jesus must have been close to the situation because Luke 22:61 says the Lord turned and look straight at Peter. What kind of look was it? Well, Jesus wasn't shocked. He had predicted the denial. But remember, Jesus was always in Peter's corner. He was always patient with him. He was always reassuring with him. What kind of look did he give him? We don't know. But whatever it was, it caused a reaction from Peter, a flood of emotions. See, when Jesus had been arrested and he was beaten, he was probably covered in blood. His face must have been bloody. His clothing must have been covered by blood. And the Bible says Peter left the courtyard and he wept bitterly. Peter's confusion continued 3 days of mourning over the death and burial of Jesus. And then Jesus started appearing. He resurrected from the dead. He even appeared to Peter at some point. And Jesus would appear for a while and then he would vanish again. So it wasn't the same. So Peter knew Jesus was alive, but he was gone most of the time. So Peter, for whatever reason, still confused still, he goes back to the one thing that he understands. Listen to John 21 and verse 3. This is Peter. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So why did he go back to fishing? Did he want relaxation? Was he giving up? And was he saying, "Well, listen, I guess everything's done with Jesus now. I'm going back to fishing." Maybe they needed money. Maybe it was financial. Someone said, "Hey, we still got the boat." So Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And they fished all night, and they caught nothing. Now, if you like to fish, you know that's a long night. No, nothing is caught. The disciples are out on the water, and they see this figure on the beach. It was early in the morning, and the man calls out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. He was probably about 100 yards away, so they can't really see who it was. And the man calls out, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will catch fish." And I'm sure bells started ringing, and their minds reminding them of the early encounter when they first started following Jesus. This can't be Jesus. And so they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and they caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull in the boat. But I love Peter. He gets so excited. John says, "It's the Lord." And Peter can't contain himself. And he doesn't even wait for the boat to go to shore. And rather than taking off clothing, he puts on his cloak and he jumps in the water. And he swims to shore. Peter's all heart. And he loves Jesus. He's just kind of emotional. And I just imagine this is where Jesus smiled, because he's watching Peter just come into the shore swimming. And Jesus already had a fire going. And he was going to cook breakfast. And he asked for some fish that they caught. And Jesus talked with them as they ate. And I'm sure there was many memories in their minds. How encouraged they must have been to share the pleasure of his company. They were so excited as Peter. Peter was so excited to see Jesus, but he was still wounded because he remembered how he failed Jesus. He remembered how he denied him. And when they finished eating, right in front of all the disciples, Jesus starts asking questions of Peter. 3 times he asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And 3 times, was it because he denied Jesus 3 times? Peter answers 3 times, "You know that I love you." It wasn't an accident that Jesus met them while they were fishing, because that was the same place where he called them. Peter was fishing them too, and that's what the video was. Jesus told them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus is reminding these uncertain disciples, "Your calling hasn't changed." He's telling Peter, "I still need you. You're going to catch fish. You're not going to catch fish, you're going to catch men. Your failure doesn't disqualify you." Jesus would soon ascend to heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the disciples would be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the church came to life. And that's going to be next week, and we're going to finish up our series. Peter was the leader of the group. on the day of Pentecost. I love Peter because I can relate to him. I understand where he's coming from. Jesus loved him, though, through all of his emotional ups and downs. He loved him even when he was foul-mouthed, even when he was confused, even when he denied him. Jesus still loved him. Jesus was still going to use him in a mighty way. And if you think about your life, I think you're going to think of times when you were too emotional. When you trusted your emotion, you made bad choices. Maybe you overreacted. Maybe you did things that were hurtful to other people. Maybe you denied the Lord. Maybe you chose sin. And it still pains your heart even to think about such times. But just remember this. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine if you stick with Jesus. He will help you through the setbacks in your life. He's going to guide you when you're hurting, when you're confused, when you failed Him. If you follow Him, He will help you through. He wants us to love Him with all of our emotions. But I relate to this very well in my own life. Because when I reflect over my life, I can see many times I was overconfident. I see many times I overreacted. I see many times when my emotions got the best of me. And I can point out many failures in my life. But I've been forgiven. I have been forgiven of those things. And even when I fail in advance, I'm going to be forgiven, and God knows what that is. So when we come to our time of invitation, this is a time to not hold back on your emotions. Don't hold back and don't think I'm going to control everything. You know, whatever is on your heart, don't hold it back from the Lord. You know, that's been one of my issues. It's not that I overreact. I underreact, okay? I repress everything. I keep it inside, and I don't let it out. I should let it out, and I should let Jesus know what these feelings are. So that's our invitation time. It's for you to just let your emotions come out and be honest about to the Lord how you're feeling. And maybe if it's a sin, just be honest and say, I'm really struggling with this, Lord. I remember what I've done. I picked out an unusual song today for invitation. This song goes back to when I was about 9 years old. Okay, I was singing this song when I was doing the sermon, and I thought, wow, I've not sang this since I was 9. Okay, so I had to contact Patricia and see if she could find it, because we can't even find the music for this anymore. But what I loved about singing, part of a children's program when I was 9, is when we were growing up, it's not this way anymore, kids were taught to sing. Amen. And I remember the teacher told us, sing like you mean it. Amen. Right? Sing it. And so every child, and you know, us guys, little boys, we loved to sing. We would sing as loud as we could. Even when it wasn't appropriate, we were still singing loud. And so this song here says it, what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be fishers of men, so let's all stand as we and sing it like you mean it here. You might remember this once Patricia starts playing here.